KJAN Sports.
Time for a look at sports. Good morning, I'm Jim Field. A year ago, Iowa tumbled from a preseason top 10 ranking to a 500 finish in the Big Ten. The Hawkeyes earned a trip to the Insight Bowl, but they went without their top running back and wide receiver after December arrests. The glow over a comeback win over Missouri was sullied by an offseason workout that went bad. It left 13 players hospitalized, and Coach Kirk Ferentz was forced to defend his program. All that drama, coupled with the departure of a celebrated senior class led by Adrian Claiborne and Ricky Stanzi, has significantly lowered expectations for Iowa in 2011. The University of Iowa says football and men's basketball play-by-play announcer Gary Dolphin has been diagnosed with prostate cancer. The school said Wednesday that Dolphin isn't expected to miss any games and he is optimistic for a full recovery. The 60-year-old Dolphin is entering his 15th season as the play-by-play man for the Hawkeyes. Dolphin says his doctors have told him they caught his cancer in its early stages and they plan to attack it with radiation. Iowa opens its season on September 3rd at home against Tennessee Tech and expect Dolph to be behind the microphone for that game. Nebraska hasn't played a down of football in the Big Ten, yet the Cornhuskers are favored by some to win the championship in their first year in the conference. They'll need to do it against one of the toughest schedules in the nation. Conference play begins with a night game at defending co-champ Wisconsin on October 1st and a home date with Ohio State the next week. Fourth-year coach Bo Pelini has encouraged his players to embrace the challenge of taking on eight new conference opponents. Nebraska has posted back-to-back 10-win seasons and made it to the Big 12 championship game the last 2 years, losing both. The Huskers lost three of four games to end last season, including an embarrassing Holiday Bowl loss to Washington. Penn State coach Joe Paterno has returned to practice with his right arm in a sling. A photo on the team's website shows a smiling Paterno on a golf cart at practice Wednesday afternoon. The 84-year-old Hall of Famer injured his shoulder and pelvis after a receiver blindsided him during drills on Sunday. He spent almost 2 days at a hospital before being released Tuesday, saying in a statement he wanted to shift the attention back to his team. The NCAA investigation into Ohio State's football program has cost the school's athletic department $800,000. Athletic Director Gene Smith confirmed the figure on Wednesday in an email to the Associated Press. The Buckeyes football program has been embroiled in a memorabilia for cash scandal that broke late last year and has resulted in Coach Jim Tressel losing his job after 10 years. Star quarterback Terrell Pryor also has left the school. Ohio State goes before the NCAA's Committee on Infractions this Friday. The NCAA can either accept Ohio State's self-imposed penalties, which include vacating 12 wins from the 2010 season and a two-year NCAA probation, or they can add to them. In NFL news, Chiefs general manager Scott Pioli believes significant progress has been made during the first 2 weeks of a most unusual training camp. Speaking after Kansas City's walkthrough Wednesday morning, Pioli says he's been encouraged by several new players and the ground that's been covered by Todd Haley and the rest of the coaching staff after the lockout. The defending AFC West champs wrap up their first leg of training camp with a practice under the lights last night in St. Joseph, Missouri, and they head home to Arrowhead Stadium for their preseason opener tomorrow night against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Vikings owner Ziggy Wilf says his team's fans shouldn't be nervous about progress by developers seeking to build a new stadium in Los Angeles. Wilf says the Vikings have momentum for a project in a suburb north of Minneapolis where the team wants to put a new stadium. The Vikings have entered the final year of their lease at the Metrodome. The New England Patriots reportedly have hammered out a contract with Logan Mankins. ESPN reports the Pats and the three-time Pro Bowl guard have agreed to a six-year package. Mankins played 9 regular season games last season following a 4.5-month contract holdout. Also in the NFL, free agent wide receiver Steve Smith has left the New York Giants. He took a 1-year deal with Philadelphia. In baseball last night, Dan Uggla continued his hitting streak as he helped the Atlanta Braves pad their lead in the National League wild card race. Uggla went 3-for-5, and the Braves picked up their fourth straight win by downing the Marlins 6-2 in Florida. Uggla's two-run single in the first extended his hitting streak to 31 games, and that ties Rico Carty's Atlanta record set in 1970. The second baseman is within 6 games of tying the franchise record of 37 set by Tommy Holmes in 1945. Eric Hinsky also had 2 RBIs, and Tim Hudson carried a shutout into the 8th as the Braves stretched their wild card lead to 5 games over San Francisco. The Philadelphia Phillies staged a big comeback in Los Angeles while the San Francisco Giants were mauled by Pittsburgh. Ryan Howard and Hunter Pence homered while the Phillies were turning an early 6-0 deficit into a 9-8 win over the Dodgers. The Giants were rocked by the Pirates 9-2, and that put San Francisco a half game back of Arizona in the National League West. That's because the Diamondbacks were 6-3 winners over Houston as Josh Colemanter scattered four hits in seven innings. Milwaukee's lead in the National League Central has grown to five games over St. Louis after Randy Wolf allowed only a run and five hits over eight innings of the Brewers' 5-1 win against the Cardinals. Prince Fielder hit a sacrifice fly and an RBI double as the Brewers won for the 13th time in 14 games. Also in the NL, Joey Votto hit Cincinnati's third solo homer of the night, snapping a two-all tie and a 3-2 win over Colorado. Will Venable was 4-for-5 with an RBI and three runs scored, leading San Diego past the New York Mets 9-5. And homers by Reed Johnson, Alfonso Soriano, and Giovanni Soto powered the Chicago Cubs past Washington 4-2. In the American League, Boston's lead in the East is down to a game and a half over the Yankees. Jim Thome doubled home the tie-breaking run while Minnesota scored three times in the eighth inning to beat the Red Sox 5-2. Thome also hit an RBI single as the Twins ended a six-game skid and avoided a three-game sweep. The Yanks, meantime, were 9-3 winners over the Los Angeles Angels as Curtis Granderson homered twice. Robinson Cano added a two-run shot and rookie Ivan Nova improved to 11-4. The Angels still trail the West by a game and a half to Texas following the Rangers' 4-3 loss to Seattle. Casper Wells reached base four times and delivered a tie-breaking RBI single in the seventh to help them with the win. The Cleveland Indians are within two games of Central leading Detroit after newcomers Ubaldo Jimenez and Jason Kipnis led them to an easy 10-3 romp over the Tigers. Jimenez was a winner in his Indians' home debut, allowing three runs while striking out six over eight innings in a 10-3 pounding of the Tigers. The AL slate included Baltimore's 6-4 win over the White Sox. Kansas City's Melky Cabrera hit a three-run homer and had five RBIs, but Tampa Bay erupted for five runs in the bottom of the ninth as they beat the Royals 8-7. And Brett Lowry launched his first career grand slam, putting Toronto ahead to stay in the sixth inning in an 8-4 verdict over Oakland. Cardinals rookie right-hander Lance Lynn has been put on the 15-day disabled list a day after injuring his left side making a pitch, and he could miss the rest of the season. Outfielder Matt Holliday was scratched from the St. Louis lineup Wednesday night against the Milwaukee Brewers after injuring his back in the weight room. Utility man Alan Craig was activated from the 15-day disabled list after recovering from a fractured kneecap. He was to start in right field. St. Louis temporarily went with an 11-man pitching staff as the Cards had a full roster after catcher Yadier Molina returned from a five-game suspension. Indians outfielder Michael Brantley will miss a few games with an injured right wrist that's bothered him for more than a week. As manager Manny Acta says, Brantley has visited a hand specialist and isn't expected to go on the disabled list. Brantley is hitting .270 in 106 games. Minnesota manager Ron Gardenhire says Justin Morneau will rejoin the Twins on Friday when they open a three-game series in Cleveland. The star first baseman has not played in a game since June 9th when he went on the disabled list to have surgery to repair a pinched nerve in his neck. San Diego second baseman Orlando Hudson was held out of the starting lineup against the Mets a day after he strained his right groin while chasing a foul ball. Colorado signed right-hander Kevin Millwood to a major league contract before he allowed three runs in seven innings of Wednesday's loss to Cincinnati. The Rockies also called up right-handed reliever Edgar Gonzalez from AAA Colorado Springs. They put right-hander Matt Lindstrom on the 15-day disabled list because of soreness below his right arm, and they optioned infielder Ian Stewart to Colorado Springs. Toronto Blue Jays general manager Alex Anthopoulos says an ESPN report accusing his team of stealing signs at home is stupid and has got a lot of holes in it. A front-page article on the ESPN website Wednesday cited four anonymous relief pitchers from an American League team who claimed they saw a man in a white shirt sending signals from the outfield seats to the batter's box during a game in 2010. In Pacific Coast League baseball yesterday, Iowa-Omaha, both winners yesterday, both by identical 7-6 scores. I-Cubs beat Sacramento, Omaha down in Fresno. Both Iowa and Omaha have today off as they'll be traveling. They'll both head west. Omaha opens up a series at Salt Lake Friday night. The I-Cubs will be at Tacoma where the series starts Friday night. In racing, Kurt Busch will drive the number 22 Dodge in place of injured Penske teammate Brad Keselowski in NASCAR's nationwide race at Watkins Glen International on Saturday. Keselowski pulled out a gutsy victory in Sunday's Sprint Cup race at Pocono as he held off Kyle Busch over the final laps despite a fractured left ankle and a strained back that he suffered a week ago in a crash while testing at Road Atlanta. Well, the PGA Championship is underway at Atlanta Athletic Club, with one of the 20 club professionals in the field hitting the opening tee shots. Several PGA pros gathered around the first tee and began clapping when Craig Stevens of Dallas hit the fairway on the first hole. About that time, Tiger Woods was headed to the putting green to begin warming up for the final major of the year. Woods missed the past two majors while letting injuries in his left leg properly heal. Minor damage from a mowing accident on the 17th green has been repaired, although the brown edges of the new sod are visible. It's a tiny patch, about 3 square yards, that's crisscrossed so that it looks like the runways of a small airport from 35,000 feet. Paul Goidos was among the first to arrive today for the PGA Championship, and he could turn in an entire 8-hour day without ever hitting a shot at the Atlanta Athletic Club. Goidos, a two-time PGA Tour winner, is the first alternate for the final major of the year. Unlike the U.S. Open, he at least was allowed to play a practice round earlier in the week, but today he's forced to be in the area of the first and tenth tees, just in case someone might withdraw. Guido says he doesn't think former U.S. Open champion Jerry Pate, who asked for a special invitation, is taking up a spot in the field. Guido argues the way he's played this past year, people might say he's just taking up a spot. And a Michigan father says his six-year-old son is unfazed after he got a hole-in-one at a Hawaii golf course. The Detroit News reports that Braden Hill, who's from Ypsilanti, Michigan, aced the shot from a 68-yard kid's tee at the Kanapali Kai course on Maui on July 27th. Brent Hill says he was much more excited than his son about the accomplishment, and that because Braden is only 6 years old, he hasn't quite grasped the importance of his achievement. Brent Hill says the main repercussion of that hole-in-one is that Braden now thinks he should get a hole-in-one all the time. He says his son picked up his first golf club when he was just 1 year old, and he took to the sport pretty quickly. He's even competed in some tournaments, and now he has bragging rights over most of the rest of us, too. That's Check of Sports this hour. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.